Hey everyone, welcome to this week's edition of Mashing In. I'm one of your hosts, Stefan Turcotte, and on this side of me is...
Oh, switching up, yeah. Edward Kay.
And on the other side of him,
yes,
is the non-Australian Brian Teslin.
Okay. We're sticking with that?
No, nah, we're done now.
Okay, yeah.
It's over.
I think that's it, yeah.
Can you do the accent though?
No.
I want to hear it.
I can't do it, so I'm not even going to try.
So, on this week's show, it's a bit of a departure again. There's only three of us back to the original script. And this week, our beer segment, we brought in smoked beers. So beers with smoked malt in them, which I'm really excited to taste through. So that's coming up in a bit. But first, we're going to go over some beer news, or sorry, some beer events that we went to over the past week and some coming up.
You guys were, you were at Magnificent Six on Thursday?
I was, yeah. A lot of fun.
Romantic,
yes, very
on Valentine's Day.
Staring at those brewers, giving them the eyes.
There, was Brian Chow there from Steel and Oak?
I don't think he was, actually, no.
His beautiful hair and everything.
Pretty good hair, yeah. But yeah, there were a lot of brewers, a lot of beers on that you don't normally see in town. Some that you do at the Drake, obviously, but a few special things on. And yeah, it was just good. It's like the atmosphere is the best thing.
Yeah.
And all the prices were really reasonable as well. I think they were all like $6. That's which sweet. Is really cool.
Yeah. Usually they're like $7 or more for a taster.
Yeah. So it's just for, special thing for the night.
And any special beers from any of the breweries that really caught your eye? Anything good from Brassneck or anything like that?
No, it's the Yabba, which is good. They have that on the Drake pretty, well, right now they have it on all the time, which is phenomenal. Really good. Nothing that was like specially made for the event or anything that you can't get in the brewery, but yeah, it was good fun. Lots of good beers. Enjoyed it. Yeah.
Cool.
And you guys were at Smith's as well on Saturday for the Boombox takeover?
Yeah, after we closed down shop here at Il Sauvage, we headed over there and tried some hazy IPAs.
Hazy. There's some darker beers.
I know, but we just...
You want some
hazy? Well, we went in and we saw all the hazies. We're like, well, I'd like to taste, you know, them kind of back to back. So there were four of us there, and we all each got a different one and kind of shared them. And then there was some customer from Il Sauvage that recognized us there, and she just kept putting beers in front of us.
Nice.
So like, okay, so I got to taste through a bunch of hazy IPAs.
Wow.
But they were really good. I think my favorite was Laser Illusions, which is one I haven't seen in cans.
It's the new one that's coming
out.
Yeah. Right.
It's out, but it's be here soon.
It was my favorite.
Was Synthwave on tap too?
Oh man,
I don't remember seeing Synthwave on. No,
that was it was the one I wasn't too fond of. I think I got a lot of I was getting a lot of like soapy Vic Secret bitterness. I don't know if they use Vic Secret or not, but just like that's what I associate. But and that one's brand new too. But a lot of people I know who have had that one, so they really like it. So
they had the Everything's Gone Green draft only release.
I had a single can of that synth wave.
Yeah.
And I really liked it, but it was shocking to me how low the carb was in it. It was like it must have been like under a volume and a half. Like it was juice. Like
It was juicy.
Hazy IPAs are just, they're really knocking down these carb levels. Like a lot of them put them in the cans like under two volumes. Like normally like the standard for like a regular ale will be 2.5 volumes of CO2. And they're just like slowly bringing that down. So not that I didn't like it. It's just kind of like really shocking that this is a new trend, is just taking the carbonation out of beer.
It's juice, man.
Yeah.
It's dat juice.
And I went early, so I got a chance to try the rum barrel aged midnight train too.
And
it was delicious. I had it at Weathered as well.
Oh, don't you have a magnum of it as well? Or
no, I don't. My friend was going to get one, but it was one per customer, so you can get me one. But I think it's going to be coming out in bottles, from what I understand. We'll see.
Oh, cool.
But like it was nice to try that and the heavyweight champ back to back.
There's and a lot of, we were talking about this earlier, there's a lot of other Imperial Stouts coming out now.
Finally. In BC, we're finally seeing lots like...
I think Steel and Oak put one out too, Anvil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
Lupolo put a couple out too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And then obviously the ever popular Driftwood Singularity came out this week too. So.
It did. Stock up for your cellar.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. Maybe next the Bali wines are going to come back.
Hope. Our buddy Bobby, who's coming up from Seattle for Beer Week, he made those hats that say "Make Sour Beer Great Again" that Ian and I have and wear around. But he was at a fest somewhere. I think it was in, I forget where it was. And a guy was wearing a red MAGA hat but on it it said make barley wines English again. I thought that was pretty funny.
Only if, right?
Yeah.
That's the dream, really.
I think so. And I think it really, it's really true. I think barley wine should be English again.
It needs
again.
To happen, yeah.
Give it another
I don't mind some American barley wines, but just the too much hop in them is too much. Is,
yeah. And what's the point of buying a beer that needs 4 years so that the hops age out of it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, just make an English barley wine and I can drink it tomorrow if I want.
Well,
yeah.
Souk did theirs and it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's
like really that
good. Also, P49 put theirs back out this year too.
Yeah.
And I got a bottle, but I haven't tried it yet though. But I think it's, they're, no.
It was fine. It wasn't as good, I think, as the previous one. I think the Souk one was much better, but Souk one that's just me.
And it was bourbon barrel age, which
yeah,
always
that's yeah. Rye is a hard one sometimes for that, but it just made quite dry. It was good though, but
yeah.
Cool. All right.
That sums up the week gone, and how about the week to come? What's coming up?
Well, coming up, this probably the biggest thing this week would be Hop Wide Festival. We've been plugging it a lot recently. I think it's just a fantastic idea for an event. Coffee beers specifically. Which is cool. Unlimited in your ticket. I think it's mostly sold out now. He's released a few extra tickets.
I think the unlimited pouring now is really attracting more people.
Yeah.
Most places aren't allowed to do it, so I'm not sure.
Is Hopwired a timed event? Like a really small time?
It's 1 till 5:30. Which is a decent amount of time, so... Yeah, I mean, I think it pushes... It's right on the limit, I think.
Two sessions and they're like 4 hours,
four
right?
Hours,
so yeah, I think if they have a timeline for people that doesn't give them like Farmhouse Fest, we just to see what they do this year because it's usually what like 12 to like 5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they'll cut it back this year.
But you have tickets for that one, tokens for that one.
Yes, yeah. But what I'm saying is whether it is Farmhouse Fest, so they might just do it the same because like they made Witchstock. That this year they had two showings for Witchstock and it was unlimited, and that's what they do in the States for lots of people are trying to adopt that method now, but in a more of a controlled area.
See what happens. But if you're in Vancouver on the weekend, or if you live in Vancouver and you're in the mood for something to make it into a craft beer weekend, there's also a Two Crows tap takeover coming up, I believe, at 12 Kings the night before. And in Victoria, we've got Parksville up island is going to be a festival there called Parksville Untapped. I don't know too much about it. It's Red Sea, an event up island. So
is that related to Untapped the beer rating or Untapped the?
It's confusing as all hell.
It's not related,
related
to either
to
one?
Any of them. Mm. Yeah. So it's a pretty generic name.
But they've
got
a lot of good breweries in between that area, so they'll probably have some.
Oh, it's just it's just a local Parksville.
Oh, it's only local.
Is that what it's? Are you saying?
Regional breweries and distilleries.
Okay.
Yeah, beer paired with delicious samples of regional cuisine. Nanaimo bars, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Layers and layers of Nanaimo bars.
So much coconut.
Yeah.
So much coconut. Okay.
And then the next week, should mention, coming up on Wednesday, electrical bicycle tap takeover at Smith's Pub.
On Wednesday, right? Yep.
And make sure you get your tickets for Victoria Beer Week coming up, because that starts next Friday.
Yeah, a couple of the beer school events that I'm hosting here at Il Sauvage are very close to being sold out. So people are interested, they should buy tickets now.
Cool.
Yep. Awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
Get them while you can.
We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. We're about to start round two of Mashing in our second beer, I guess one would say. This is our new segment.
Second runnings.
Should do that.
Second running.
Because, you know, like,
yep.
We should have named it Party Guile. The podcast should not be Mashing in, it's Party Guile. Because that's where you mash and then you take the first runnings. Anyway, these are our second runnings. It's our beer news segment. So
we had a slower week for a lot of beer news.
Yeah.
A lot of rumblings of things happened the week before and whatnot, but
yeah, more closures. Like, there's been a couple more closings and
some people leaving the community. There's been, you know, people just like compiling articles from things that have happened past year that have been kind of up and down in the industry. But Nothing too crazy happening. I have one article that basically talks about no-name brand from Ontario.
Yeah.
Big brand, like No Frills.
Is it President's Choice? No? I thought I remember when I was young that that was like a President's Choice thing.
I think maybe they own it. I think President's Choice is their own, like, has their own brand now of products. And that's out of like Loblaws or something like that. I think No Name comes out of No Frills as well. But,
okay.
Anyway, I could be wrong. Please, no one get mad at me. They made a beer, and it's brewed in Waterloo, Ontario, and it's literally $6.60 for a six pack. So it's a buck a beer. Yes, in essence, it's a buck ten a beer.
Awesome.
And do you remember the whole thing last year with Ford and saying we should bring buck a beer back? And are you familiar with buck a beer from in Ontario like 20 years ago?
No.
So a few companies were doing it, like Carling and. One big one was Lakeport, which is now Collective Arts' brewery.
Yeah, because they were bought out by AB InBev. And
yeah.
Did you hear the story where AB InBev, when they moved, they bought it and they moved all the production out of there? They filled all the drains with cement and everything?
I did not hear that
yeah,
story.
Yeah, so they had, like, because they had it fully plumbed. They didn't want someone else coming in and starting a brewery, like, in the next year or two.
That would make sense why, because I don't know if you've seen their brewery or not, yeah. But it's a huge space. But it's small. Like, the brewery itself inside is
apparently
small.
They're only using the packaging hall from the previous giant brewery. That's what I had heard.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
Anyway.
So, the beer, it's just called beer.
This one's just No Name. Because it's No Name brand. It's still a brand.
Yeah.
And it's just a straight up light malt lager. And apparently, it's just, they talk about it like they're using, you can see the recycled bottles here. You can see the little round ring.
Yep.
So that ring, obviously, every time you see it, it gets bigger. It's how many more times it's recycled. It's like lines in a tree almost. It shows its age of the bottle.
Well, in town here, that's Vancouver Island Brewing.
Yeah.
They've been washing bottles for since 1987.
They still have Phillips people like sitting there like emptying and washing bottles and washing the cigarettes out of them too.
Yeah. No, that's like half their operation is washing bottles. Yeah. Apparently it's... it's deafening to work in there because they just clink around all day.
Yeah, you have to wear like tons of like ear protection. No, but so the buck of beer came back, and then Rob Ford basically did a whole spiel like how to bring it back and having the craft breweries do it. And there's a big upheaval because, you know, it's expensive to brew beer. Some breweries like Dominion City, they did their brand where they actually put a buck of beer out, but it wasn't actually a buck of beer, but there was like the joke to stab at Rob Ford. Anyway, No Name Brand has put it out, and it's that dollar, it's $1.10 a beer, and it's just straight up beer, but you can get it probably at the LCBO, I think is what they said in Ontario. And it's just kind of a throwback to the day, because like when I was young in Ontario, it was buck a beer all the time. It was 2.4 for 2.4. It was about 27 bucks for 24 beers, and you know, it's the only reason for it is to really, you know, see how many you can take down. And there's nothing craft about it, unfortunately, but they had that tie to the craft beer community last year, so.
Cool.
They really should have priced it at $6.66.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm going to pull it in the Satanist crowd.
Oh, yeah. Brought on, yeah. Maybe even some of the craft beer people.
All those Satanists.
Yeah.
They're there amongst you.
Yes,
they're there amongst you.
Oh, okay, yeah. They're hiding in plain sight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We are hiding in plain sight. Yes.
You've got something you'd like to share?
I got an article. Okay. It's a last-minute play for an article. A study in Germany, which is really dumb, took 90 brave souls, that's what it says in the article, between 19 and 40.
Satanists mostly, right?
Yes, mostly Satanists, yeah.
So, 66 Satanists.
And they got one group to drink 2.5 pints of beer, followed by 4 large glasses of wine. This sounds like a fucking awesome study.
Yeah.
Second group drank 4 glasses of wine first, then 2.5 pints of beer. Third group drank only the beer. Fourth group drank only the wine. And then they studied the results the next day, and then they brought them back and they reversed it. So the people only drank wine, only drank beer, people who drank wine first, beer first. And they discovered that there's no difference. So wine before beer is not always fine.
Ah.
It's sad because it's what I do all the time.
You do wine before beer?
Just mix them together. Screw it. That's the cool thing right now. Wine beers, right? Come on.
Hybrids, I believe they're called.
Oh, yes, hybrids.
Burdock does that really well.
Yeah.
You got to wonder how these things get funded.
I thought they were going to put him in like a prison and make some of the people who drank wine the guards and the people who drank beer the
well, I was going to say, like, were they judging the hangovers? Because like a wine hangover is different than a beer hangover for sure.
I think it's more like individual based though, no? Like a hangover for everyone's different.
So. It all depends on how much you ate before and, you know, like how your body handles it. Like, so
according to the study of 90 individuals, a full 90 individuals, there is absolutely no difference between a beer and wine hangover.
Yeah, there you go. It's ethanol. That's it.
It's all ethanol. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay.
My beer and wine hangovers are way different, so.
Are they hybrid hangovers?
They're hybrid. Yeah, I have a hybrid hangover. For
sure. Okay, and for the third, this is not really a news piece. This is just an article, like an opinion piece. It's from a blog called A Tempest in a Tankard. And the title is, grabby. Global craft beer on a sea of IPA, sameness masquerading as difference, ? So it's kind of like, I'm not going to take too much out of this, but it just goes, this person splits their time between the US and Germany and has seen that the German beer market is suddenly looking a lot more like the US beer market with a lot of West Coast and East Coast IPAs on tap, things that are not traditional to a traditional beer country like Germany, and just goes over and kind of like, in my opinion, whinging that like everywhere looks like Brooklyn now. Like if you go downtown Vancouver, the charcuterie shop, the flower shop, the wine shop, and the craft beer bar all look the same as they do in Brooklyn, and the same as they do in Munich, and the same as they do in Tokyo. And so,
because that's what people want.
So this is my problem with it. So, I'm not really sure why he or she thinks this is a problem.
Yeah, it's a global community.
Yeah, and 20 years ago we had the exact same thing but with terrible products.
Yeah.
We had shitty coffee everywhere, shitty beer everywhere. Yeah. Like having a small like kick-ass coffee shop in downtown Tokyo.
Just that looks entrepreneurship really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having a small sour only brewery in the middle of Rock Bay.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like Brooklyn. Right?
It's just like Brooklyn, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought this is one of more of those things that people like just, you know, getting angry over something that
people ask for that when people are opening things. Like when I was a chef, I'm a chef. A chef I'd worked for, you know, he wanted to open a new restaurant. People kept talking about all these restaurants in LA and like we love eating there, we'd love to have something here. Like it's, you're bringing something that people can get, it's convenience for people. Yeah. Basically.
And just one of the closing paragraphs, again, he or she says, so are we content with a rehomogenization of beer that tends to favor a narrow set of styles at the expense of indigenous styles? It's like you can now go to San Diego and drink world-class examples of every beer style that was ever made, like not even like current ones, like dead ones. Like we now have way more variety. Like there's nothing.
Good point.
And with indigenous styles, like you go to Brazil and drink craft beer and they're putting their native ingredients into their beer. So they're making IPAs with, you know, their fruit and sours with their fruit.
It's the beauty about the industry. Beer can be made literally anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like wine.
When I was living and brewing in Korea, like I always tried to use some, like, so that our yuzu gosa that we have on tap here, that was from there because yuja is a native ingredient to Korea. And same with ginger. And I even made a ginseng pale ale once as well with like fresh ginseng.
Yeah,
Korea's famous for its ginseng.
Yeah.
It was polarizing though. It was pretty earthy. It was like half the people were like, this is like tasting earth.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't mind it too much, but I it was more for a novelty. But this is what you see everywhere that craft beer has like now gone, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, the sky's the limit. You can add anything to it.
Yeah.
At Junk City.
I mean, I was looking at like, because I'm thinking of going back to the UK, like, oh, what breweries have we got there now? I'm like looking at what they had, and a lot of them were like, try our new West Coast Pale Ale. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. It's like, 10 years ago.
One of like, the most popular breweries in the UK, Cloudwater, like, what are they most famous for?
Hazy IPA.
It's true.
Okay, so I think we can say that we probably don't agree with that, but
we don't agree. No, I think it's
We shall. That wraps it up for news right now, and we're gonna move on. When we come back, we're going to dig into some smoke.
Cigarettes.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Time for our third running of the MASH. Third runnings that we're collecting.
My favorite bit.
Yeah. The third runnings are the weakest.
Fine.
This is the whirlpool now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just meant I like to drink beer.
Sure. So, and this, you're lucky because this is our beer segment.
Right, yeah.
I used to call it three beers, but it's changed.
It's, yeah. We can't do three beers for apparently for some reason. Unless, yeah. Maybe three whales one day.
Sure.
Just three whales.
Yeah.
I don't think we can just do three whales. So.
We can do that on our other podcast, remember? Japanese whalers.
Japanese whalers.
Yeah. that was a callback to last week. So anyway. this week we decided on kind of an ingredient again. Not really it's not a single style of beer. It's smoked beer or smoke in beer, and more specifically,
it's a technique. Is it from?
It's smoked malt.
Smoked malt.
Yeah. So one of you to make a smoked beer, you like there's no way to smoke a. The liquid of beer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's done that yet.
Well, I think the other thing, some smoked beers, they are using liquid smoke.
Oh, they're adding liquid smoke? And I don't know why you would ever need to because smoked malt is readily available from any malt provider. So anyway, you can use liquid smoke, just like if you want to make quick barbecue, you can use liquid smoke, right?
Yeah, I've even seen some like chef recipes for it too that use it as a quick little additive for a smokiness in some vegan style dishes and whatnot. So, anyway,
we're gonna open the first one, then we'll talk more. Who brought this one?
That was me.
Okay.
This is a local beer from Swan's Brewery. It's a collaboration with White Sails and The Whole Beast.
So they actually for this one smoked the hops as well at The Whole Beast.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where the collab part comes in.
Yeah, and this one best in show at the 2017 BC Beer Awards. Yeah,
this is a real beautiful beer.
Yeah, it's actually really good.
Do you know anything about the style? Like, what's the base style of it?
It's an Oktoberfest beer.
Basically. Yeah, it's a fest beer. Oktoberfest, okay. Yeah.
So he calls it a Flammen beer. So it's a lot lighter, more malt forward, obviously.
And it's a lager, right? If it's a fest beer, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got a beautiful lager brewery at Swan's there, so.
Cool. So, off the bat, brilliantly clear copper color.
Yeah.
On the nose, definitely.
Small amounts of smoke, nothing smoke too outputting, yeah, like, which is really nice.
Yeah, a nice low amount of smoke.
Yeah, it's just right.
It's there.
It's not campfire-y, but
sweetness. It also still smells like an Oktoberfest, like a malty lager.
Oh, that comes really nicely on the palate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's really well
more, a little bit more, yeah.
There's a bit more spiciness.
A little more smoke, too, in the as you drink it. Really good.
Not overpowering, though. Like with smoked beers, there can be that
intensity
and underlying bitterness that really...
Yeah. So this actually leads right into... This is almost... So in the BJCP for the styles... Rauch beer is the German smoked beer style, and it is an amber lager that uses smoked malt. Specifically, they use beechwood smoked malt because for the smoked malts, there are several different ones available. You can get, there's like beechwood smoked malt, and then there's like cherry wood smoked malt, and then there's also peated malt, which personally I don't like.
You don't like peated malt?
Some people fucking love it though.
Like it, but in moderation, it's quite intense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it more just like a nostalgia thing for scotch drinkers that prefer peated scotches more than anything else?
Yeah, I'm also not a fan of peated scotches. So,
I like peated scotches a lot.
Okay.
I like
those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also like there's smoked wheat malt as well available. So there's kind of a lot of different options, and you have to use them. Each kind of different smoked malt they have varying degrees of smokiness to them.
Right.
So like a little bit of peated smoke, like peated malt goes a long way.
Yeah.
Whereas this beechwood, I know from having worked with it, I used to make a smoked porter that I really liked, and I would use the beechwood smoke because it just added this subtle like layer into the porter, which I really liked.
Yeah, it's nice to have those like built-in background flavors, complex levels, not just having something that's right in your face, especially with a smoked beer.
That's why this one is very, very well done, because in these amber lagers, it can easily turn to bacon.
Mm-hmm. even with good bacon, like master smokers, master barbecue guys,
pit masters, I believe
they're called. Like they focus on like not just pumping it full of smoke, like how to really add the levels and textures of flavor to their product.
Yes,
same with this. It's not about just. We're saying it's a smoked beer, but it's not just going to, like, having a cigarette. Mm. We don't want to have that. You want to have those careful subtleties of smoke with the underlying base flavor of the actual style that you're going for.
So I ran around today trying to find the classic example of rock beer. It's the Schlenkerla beer. And Schlenkerla is a brewery in Bavaria that makes, like, 6 different types of beer, all smoked. Varying levels of smokiness, but like their classic is their Mertzen, which is like an amber lager with, and I've had it on tap before, and it's like, it's on the verge of being too smoky, I would say, even though it is the example of the style.
We should have been looking to see.
I looked all around, like, I don't think it's available here. Have you ever seen it? It's in pretty, like,
I don't think I've seen it. Some of the, like,
do you have a picture of it?
Some of those traditional beers can be hard to find sometimes as well.
I was actually thinking that, like, if you wanted to find a traditional German beer here, where would you go?
Well, what are the names you're looking for? Is Dab a DAB?
No, that's not one. That's a Dortmunder, I believe.
They have a strong lager from Dab. Does one as well?
Yeah, their main one though is their Dortmunder export lager.
Oh, right.
The traditional German, though, I don't know.
Anyway, I looked around for a bunch of these, and I couldn't find any of them around. It's hard to find German beers here, and it's hard to find smoked beers, especially.
Yeah.
Celebrator's a traditional German beer, isn't it?
Yeah. That's their Doppelbock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, they bought it's like a love it or hate it kind of thing with smoked beer. My girlfriend hates them. Like, if I've had a smoked beer, sometimes she'd be like, could you go and brush your teeth?
Oh, that really? Kind of thing. Like, she can't?
Yeah, it's just like the smell, but she actually really likes this Swan's one.
So. Yeah, it's a great beer.
Mm.
And, you know, smoke always can throw the market off for people wanting to buy it, but we've seen a lot of sales with this, so it's a good beer.
It's a good one.
All right, so we move on?
Sure. So, up next, Brian, you bought a small bottle, did you?
I brought 3 small bottles.
We'll start with one.
We'll start with
Brian's doing 3 beers on his own.
Yeah.
We tried to keep it to 3 beers today, but I ended up finding 3 really cool renditions of the style. So,
or not of the style, the ingredient.
The ingredient.
Well, there you go.
So this is from a brewery out in Sweden. They're called Bräckerit.
You do that accent?
I'm not even gonna try. Yeah. I've tried to say the how to actually say the because it looks like it says Skane, but it's actually pronounced Skane.
Skane.
So these guys you see a lot of in town too, especially 750 mils, and they have a lot of 330 mil bottles. Lots of tart beers. This one is a Lichtenhainer.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk about, because this is awesome. We have a rare style that you see almost nothing. And it's a historical beer style that basically just about died off, except for a couple of examples, and the craft beer movement is helping to keep it alive. So Lichtenhainer is weird because it's a sour, smoked, low-gravity German wheat beer. And sourness and smokiness generally don't go together very well. Like, there's a sharp astringency to smoke flavor, and that typically doesn't go well with sourness. But this beer is supposed to have lower levels of both those things. Not too sour, not too smoky. But still. And they use smoked wheat malt in this beer.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of traditional... Pivo Grodzickie is another version of a smoked wheat beer as well. This one is sour, that one is not.
I say oaked smoked wheat malt on the bottle as well. So, and this is a collab too. This is with Transient Artisanal Ales.
I'm getting very little.
Yeah, a little tiny bit of smoke. I was just thinking that. Just smells like smells tart, like lactic acid.
Get a bit of butter, too.
It's always a good ingredient. Smoke and butter. Mm. Maybe we are making bacon.
Yeah. You make your bacon with butter?
No. I used to have this American roommate who did it, though. I hate the smell of cooking butter. Yeah. Just, oh, God.
In the UK, you have a bacon buddy, right?
We do, yeah.
And that's got a bunch of butter and a bunch of bacon
it's
on
true,
it.
True, yeah. But then again, we do also eat chip sandwiches. Not like Chris.
Chip buddies?
Oh, God, I'm getting myself confused. Like a chip butty, yeah. So basically, you just take some fries, put it in some bread with some butter. We are a very refined culture.
Yeah. I've also had the crisps and sandwiches, there was too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
There was
that.
A restaurant in Vancouver that did traditional English fare. Uh-huh. And I have to say, when it's done right, it's really beautiful food.
Well, I don't think Sunday roast isn't traditional.
Yeah. Sunday roast? Like, yeah. That's like, wonderful food.
Yeah, even like the curries that come out of England, too, like are really, really dynamite.
When I was living there, we used to go to the pub on Sundays because I like to watch European football. Mm-hmm. The one that they play with their
footy.
Footy. Big fan of, unfortunately, Liverpool today drew 0-0 with Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
Cool.
But we used to go on Sundays and watch the footy at the pub because they'd always have a buffet of Sunday roast.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, they have a big old table. You pay your 20 quid.
Yeah. We refer to that as a carvery.
Carvery. Sure, there you go. Learning new things every day here.
Yeah. But it was always awesome. There's always Yorkshire pudding and roasts and, yeah.
That's a little side note, what I'm talking about doing at my restaurant is we do a thing called Courtney's Potato, or Potatoes Courtney.
Okay.
And they're basically shredded, almost like vodka roasty potatoes that we cook in duck fat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about taking those and cutting them a bit into sandwich size and making our own chip buddies with duck fat chip buddies, FYI.
Good God.
Okay.
With a side of HP sauce.
Nice. Brown sauce. Brown sauce.
Brown sauce. Yeah. Anyway, getting off track there. So, yeah, this is unfortunately not the smokiest.
Yeah.
Cool to try it though. The sourness is there. It's nice. Mm-hmm. It's a light beer. It's got good, like, light tartness to it.
Not as acidic as we were thinking it was going to be, too.
No, I had said low gravity, not too sour.
This is like only 4.4%.
But I think in the write up they say, think of a Gosa without the salt and coriander.
Okay.
Was kind of the write up for this, for a Lichtenhainer.
Ah, okay.
So you kind of get that, right? It's that kind of level of sourness.
Cool.
Up next, beer number 3 today. Brian, this is yours again.
I got 3 beers today.
Going for the win.
So, this is a brewery out of, I believe, New York. Stillwater. Brooklyn, New York. There we go. Mm.
Oh, it looks like a bottle from Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's very Brooklyn. It's got a dust buster on it. It's called Vacuum Ready Made. It's
the weirdest. That one does not jump out at you from the shelf, like, I'm gonna buy the Dustbuster beer.
Yeah.
The pink Dustbuster.
It's definitely, if you know who Stillwater is, you buy their beers. If you don't, it's a tough one sometimes.
Well, I don't know, look at that DeMolin over there.
Mm-hmm. DeMolin is,
I mean, that you just walk by all day.
Yeah, no.
And they have like a line of them at the store too. And they're just like, what do you want? And
you're like, I didn't know we were in a library.
Yeah.
But that's branding, right?
I think Stillwell has
Okay,
kind
so
of,
what this, kind of beer is this?
This is a smoked India-style black ale.
Oh, good. Combining my least favorite style with a weird ingredient.
Yeah, black IPA.
Black IPA, or Cascadian Dark Ale, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's glad that fat is come and gone.
No,
I'll take hazies all day.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, people don't like porters. They don't like bitter IPAs. Let's combine the two. God damn it. This one smells like old hops.
Yeah. It does smell like old hops. The smoke looks like it's dissipated
a
bit.
It's a little cheesy.
Yeah.
This might have some age.
It's
probably maybe a year or so old.
It tastes like an old black IPA.
It does, yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah,
it doesn't have any.
I'm not getting any smoke character. Maybe smoke is one of those things that's like quick to dissipate. Although I would say that any of the German ones have been older and still have
smoke
plenty
permeates,
of smoke in it.
Yeah. So if it's kept in airtight, it's not going to go anywhere. But
right?
I've had this before and it's been smoky. It might just we're probably getting the smoke masked by the incredible malt flavor.
I feel the same. Like I had this at a bottle share at a friend's house like a couple of months ago, and I thought the same thing. But I'd had it like a few years ago, and I think it's pretty much the same drop of beer that got shipped up from a few years ago. Back yeah. then, it was quite smoky, but now it's gone. Yeah.
I mean, all of those things will fade over time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was like that meme that I sent the other day of like the aliens.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they're like, the aliens are sitting around. Oh, this is great radio, right? Describing a cartoon meme.
Cartoon. Yeah.
Anyway, the gist of it was that, you know, this is our oldest, rarest liquid. And
it's kept in my basement.
Yeah.
Back in the basement.
Yeah.
And they all crack it and they all praise it.
This tastes old.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for not drinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway. It kind of feels like that sometimes.
Yeah. I'm a bit soured on sticking stuff in the cellar sometimes. I do it less these days now. Mm-hmm.
So there's a beer tasting group that does like these days where it's hashtag drink your cellar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a really good idea, I think. Much better than hashtag flagship February, in my opinion.
I thought we weren't going to bring that up anymore.
Just once, okay? I just saw it got posted a bunch this week.
Oh, some people did,
a
yeah.
A bunch of
see
like...
See what Mike got?
That was cool.
Drake, though. He got a keg of Boston Lager from Sam Adams.
But it's something...
Sure.
He's kind of... It is a cool beer, but it's not one that you get locally.
True.
Kind of, he was saying, like... Hey, everywhere around town has all the local core beers on everywhere. Yeah.
Sam Adams is still a craft cool. brewery, technically. Yeah. Still independently owned.
Only because the Brewers Association keeps moving the goalposts to accommodate them. They've moved the goalposts every single year they've grown. So,
just a little bit more.
That they're not craft beer. I don't really care if you call them craft beer or not. I just, the whole flagship February thing, I just think we should drink what we want to drink. And keep artificially trying to keep around core brands is... Just like trying to plug a pail with a bunch of holes with, you know, with your fingers.
Yeah.
It's already leaking.
We should follow it with March Madness.
Well, it's just so much happening. Yeah.
Barley wines, lambics.
Madness.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Or March dryness for me. It's gonna
be. What was that point?
Anyway.
I was just saying that I had seen a bunch of posts about that again.
Yeah.
I think because we're in the final second last week of February, so people are trying to shorten up.
Oh, the drink your cellar thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's right. And I think that's actually a really... Maybe we should do that for March. Drink your cellar.
Yeah.
Instead of going out and buying new beer, just crack something from your cellar. Like, what's it even doing?
Yeah.
I always think, like... I
have so many beers sitting there I need to drink.
Yeah. And I always think, like... I gotta save this for a special occasion.
Yeah.
Like it's gotta be a good time where I can bust this out, and it's like, that day never comes.
I do that for December. Instead of buying the advent calendars that are always a letdown, I just do my
advent
own.
Advent cellar.
Advent cellar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, it's tough because cellars are big beers, and you don't wanna like drinking one of those for.
Yeah, but instead of drinking three beers or something, you just drink one nice one, right?
My girlfriend Karen and I have been trying to do that. Like, the stuff like has been in. I haven't been going too much into cellar, but my cellar's kind of overflowed into like I'm just saving this one. My cellar is more like I bought two of these. I'm going to see how it develops.
Mm-hmm.
Back, I don't do it so much now, but like when I was first like into craft beer, I'm like, we'll see how this develops. It didn't go very well a lot of the time. But we're just trying to crack stuff that's been there for a while because it's like, what am I holding on to this stuff for?
Plus, our cellar is like, I don't know, you might have something a bit better to store in, but I don't have the best area to store beer.
Actually bought off a student a mini fridge.
Okay.
And I keep it at its warmest setting.
Okay.
Hmm.
But even then, mine only fits about 12 beer, which I think is, for me, the perfect amount to have in a cellar.
Okay.
Like, I don't need much more than that.
Yeah.
Mine's definitely not 12.
Okay. Mine are all they're all 750s. Like I don't.
Yeah.
I got like six or seven large Rubbermaids, but in the bedroom, and it doesn't get really above like 10 degrees in the winter in there. It's cold.
Yeah, that's cold.
In your bedroom.
It's really cold in the bedroom. You just bundle up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other ways to get warm in the bedroom too, but we can talk about that offline.
Yeah.
So next beer.
I'd rather talk about it with my girlfriend.
Yeah, it's fine.
You really need to talk her through it first. Present your argument. Got expert witnesses coming to the stand.
She's listening to this, you know.
Oh, okay. Live? I don't think we broadcast this live.
What?
So changing subject, I brought a beer by Cole Harbor Brewing. It is called Smoke and Mirrors, and lo and behold, it has smoke in it, I think. It doesn't really say
what added to the smoke is.
How they added the smoke or what the actual style is. It just says Imperial Smoked Ale, which doesn't really... And we know that because it's 8.5%, but it's one of the most famous smoked beers in BC.
It's one of the very first ones, too, I think. They were making this beer... I don't want to say it, but this is could almost have been like a flagship for them. This is what they're really known for.
This is my contribution to Flagship Fair.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. I think it's very ballsy of them as well, because like, as we were saying, and smoked beer doesn't...
When it's an Imperial Smoked Ale, I can get behind Flagship Fair.
There you go. It's very cool that they have this in pretty regular rotation, too.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen these cans? Like, yes. So the can that it's in is amazing. It's got texture on it. It's got like mirrored writing.
It's called Smoke and Mirrors. It used to be in a bomber, and it had still really good branding. Like, it had the cross guns and the smoking cross gun, whatever, the smoking cross guns. And it was a very catchy bomber. I think it even came in a box, because it was used to be just like a seasonal release, I think around wintertime. But now, once they've won the award for it, like...
Yeah, so on the can, it's got... they won gold at the Canadian Brewing Awards, and also gold at a previous iteration. Sorry, 2017 and 2016, it won golds at the Canadian Brewing Awards.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't say the category, but I'm assuming smoked beer. That's probably...
Sometimes they sneak into all kinds of weird categories.
Well, this could also be like specialty beer or something.
Yeah.
Off the bat, though, it's pouring really dark, light tan head. This is actually really quite nice. It smells, to me, like campfire-y.
It does, yeah.
Like,
but it doesn't have any of that, like, artificial, like, burning smell.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean that, like, so smoked beers for me, some of them, like, they kind of run a range where, like, the first one we had was that light, like, just a light dusting of smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's campfire, like, in there. And then there's, like, for me, bacon, which is too far.
Okay.
I don't mind the campfire. Yeah. Sorry. And peat would be the other way further for me. Yeah. But this, to me, falls into that, like, if we can call it the campfire range of smoke.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is nice. Like...
And the beer itself, like, the base beer is actually quite tasty.
I found some information, but it's on a... Well, it's not a current description. It's the rape beer from a few years ago. But
rape beer around here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If AB InBev is listening, this podcast is also for sale for $1 billion.
Yeah, you want to fight anything for us?
Not your beer.
Yeah. It's sold.
Yeah. Or we could just taste AB InBev products all day.
We have an AB InBev night.
Sure. We should. That should be March. AB InBev March.
We only shotgun though. The mouthfeel on this shotgun tastes really good.
Stanley Park for Mark.
We can do the Bud Light lineup. Bud Light Lime, Bud Light, and Bud Light Apple.
Okay. What have you found, Ed, on rape beer?
They combine Scottish peated malts and German... Do you say Rauch?
Rauch. Yeah.
Rauch. Everyone says Rauch, but I think you might be right. No, it's like
Bach. Yeah. How do you say Bach in German? It's Bach.
Bach. Yeah.
Same one.
German.
It's Rauch.
Smoked. It
say
says
block.
In brackets. Just
you say block. Say block.
Hey, can't you see I'm blocking
over
here?
This
is the part of the show where we do accents.
Now we're trying accents.
Although Rauch is a great German word for displaying your wonderful German accent, Ed.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rauch.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've been to Germany.
Dark metal German accent.
We've all been to Germany.
I like Germany. I'd love to go back to Germany. I think it's a beautiful country.
Oh, yeah. One of the cleanest countries I've ever been to.
Yeah. Well, a lot of fun things happening in Germany.
I went to somewhere called, like, what was it called? Like, Bad Overschmacht or something like that. And I was like, what the hell? And everywhere around that was called Bad Something.
That was a town.
It was called, the name of the town. It was something like that, yeah.
We did Austria, too, and, like, I was just blown away by the towns that are, like, embedded in mountains. Like, they literally carved into the mountain. It's gorgeous.
There was no real beer at the time, though. I was 17. It was my girlfriend's parents. I did try something called Mixery, though, with an X, M-I-X-E-R-Y. And it's beer plus cola plus X. And I was just like, I gotta try this shit.
What did the X taste like?
What is
vile.
The X?
Yeah. I had no idea. It was terrible.
And she's now your ex, right?
Yes. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Takes the X for you.
Oh.
In the flavor of this beer, though, I'm getting more like waves of bacon.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's more. It's the more intense of the beers we've had for sure.
At least they're smoked, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to call it an Imperial Smoked Ale, like, this lives up to that. Like, mm-hmm. people that like smoke flavor mm-hmm. will love this beer.
Mm-hmm. I could drink this beer, like, in a full like glass, for sure. A pint at the bar, it would definitely
be. Yeah, I think so. Especially, like, this season right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a good fireside beer. Mm-hmm.
Fireside, yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. It's too much smoke after that point.
Yeah.
What do you think the reason on this one from going to Bombers to cans is?
Just everyone else did.
General trend in the industry, yeah. right?
You see it a lot in like IPAs and hazies and stuff. It's just like, I always just think cans, like people are like crushing those cans, like just gotta crush some smoked beers.
So many people, like even AleSmith has put in Speedway in cans.
That's true, but I do crush that Speedway.
So. Yes. we should have a Speedway shotgun.
Oh, now that is Flagship February. That's a damn good flagship.
That is a good flagship.
Yes.
I could drink that all day, every day.
Yeah. Oh, bummer.
But I would no longer hold a job.
Chugging a tall can of Speedway is the perfect way to start a night.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's finish this.
Well, I've got to finish this Imperial Smoked Ale.
You're trying to make us chug smoked beer.
And all your suggestions tonight have all been about shotgunning things.
Yeah. I have a problem.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, God.
Because my suggestion is we don't shotgun anything.
Actually, after the infamous shotgunning night we've had with you.
You were the shotgunner.
I have probably retired most of my shotgunning.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah. So we can stop suggesting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's done now. It's not as cool as actually smoking cigarettes is. So,
so cool.
Smoking cigarettes is super cool.
God.
Yeah. Bad for you, but super cool.
Isn't there a craft beer from the U.S. that's like cigarettes and coffee? Who makes that one? It's a smoked coffee imperial stout.
Not heard of that one.
I forget who makes it.
I forget the name. My girlfriend bought one. Our friend loves smoked beers, Richie. She bought him one that's like supposed to taste like smoking a cigar. I can't remember the name of it now, though. I'd have to ask her, but... Yeah, it has like a big cigar on the label, and I didn't get to try it myself, but...
Well, there's a Cigar City out of Florida.
Yeah.
But they're most famous...
They're ABM, but not them.
No, they joined, I forget which other company, but a couple of like large regional breweries, like including Cigar City, teamed up to make an alliance. And,
right.
And so it helps them for that like distribution all over like the East and Midwest. But I was lucky enough to have a can of Jai Alai, which is Cigar City's like famous IPA, and it was really, really good.
Nice.
And they release a stout every year called Hunapu or whatever.
Hunapu is like,
and people common, line up for days.
Are they Abraxas too? They're Abraxas, aren't they? Oh, that's perennial.
Yeah.
Never mind. My bad. Sorry.
Might have been a three magnets beer. They do a lot of crazy shit.
The cigarettes and coffee? Maybe.
That sounds like them.
And we have one more beer tonight. And it looks like Damolin because I can...
It's definitely Damolin. Spanning and Sensate?
Let's take a go at this.
Yeah. Mr. Linguist?
Brian's drank a lot too much beer.
I have not. No, he just can't pronounce words. This is one thing we've
Brian is not the linguist of the group.
Yeah. Ed and I both are.
Yes, we know. We've established
that. Which part are we even reading here?
The title. It's a novel, and you have to read it.
Spanning and Sensatiate. Sensati. I don't think that's a word. I'm pretty sure that's not a real word.
I don't know. Sensati.
I thought you were trying to read as a description.
I don't think it plays in Scrabble.
That's one we'll find out.
Strangely, isn't it? Kind of weird with the ingredients, like water pale oat smoked caramel. I'm guessing they don't tell you what kind of malt, just it's smoked.
Damolin is notorious for doing
that. Oh, this has also got chili peppers and sea salt in it.
Okay,
like
there's
the
our curveball,
says hops too.
And you were saying it's got an SRM of 351 or something like that.
Just the color it's listing is incredibly dark. It's not pouring it that dark though, but
no. This is also a bottle from 2013, I think.
Oh, good. A 6-year-old bottle of beer.
Yeah.
Don't get very much smoke.
Okay, so we've now got it in our glasses, and Brian is furiously smelling it.
Lots of leather.
I can get some old hops too again on this one.
Oh yeah, this.
Yeah.
I actually quite like it.
It's a nice beer.
Oh, actually, yeah.
I'm getting a weird, like, perfumey smell off of it.
Hmm. A little cocoa in the palate on that one for me.
It's almost like, to me, on the flavor, like, barley wine-esque, like, like, in that realm of beer flavor. Because it's definitely got a sweetness and, like, a prune fig thing and a...
Yeah.
It's had
what's the ABV on it?
A 10.
10? Okay. Yeah, like, to me, this almost looks like a black barley wine.
Those exist.
Well, they call this an imperial stout-ish.
I don't... I wouldn't call it stout. Well, or in the 6 years it's been in the bottle, it might have lost the roast character. Yeah. Yeah.
It's become...
They guarantee their bottles for 5 years. So this is...
So this is beyond that guarantee.
Yeah. Getting close to it, yeah, pretty much.
When you buy it, they're like, and we guarantee this bottle.
That's a bold statement, yeah. Isn't it?
Guarantee what?
If you go back after 5 years, you're like, I drank that last night and it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to give you your money back, are they?
No.
Yeah.
No.
But in a sales.
And this was sitting on a shelf.
But
yeah.
You getting the smoke, though?
No. I think one thing we've determined tonight is that smoke doesn't last.
What's that?
Yeah.
It's like...
I don't know.
Well, and all it says like, is smoked.
Sulfur?
Could be sulfur.
I'd say the two winners for overall would be the Flamin' beer and the Smoking Mirrors.
And the only thing about those two is that they're fresh and local.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So
it makes a huge difference.
All three of the breweries that we tried that were kind of the duds still are really great breweries.
Although yeah. And the Lichtenhainer I liked. Mm-hmm. I just didn't get a lot of smoke off it, but I did like it as beer.
I guess you got to drink those smoke beers fresh, much like the coffee beers.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's it. This is the thing about, you know, drink your cellar March, as we're going to push, obviously, through March.
Just
should we make
off
a Facebook page for it or something, a Facebook
article? No. Let's just keep talking about it.
drink your cellar March.
Drink your cellar March. Oh, we should call it the, like, hashtag March On or something. You know, it needs, like, a catchy, like, a pun. Because you can't be in craft beer and not
have a pun. Yeah. We should find some sort of quote from a movie, like 20 years ago, like, from the 90s, and then use that. Because I think that's what most people are doing right now.
Are we hipsters?
Well,
hipsters.
We have a craft beer podcast.
We have a craft beer podcast.
Son of a bitch.
We're wearing hoodies
with
either breweries or... East fan on the back of it.
Yeah.
So
I think we're getting close to that, yeah.
Damn it.
And you have a giant beard.
It's not that big.
Well, it's...
By craft beer standards, it's tiny. Yeah.
It's fair.
I've got a metal shirt on, though.
That's
always Salvation.
That's
Salvation.
True. Is it a Satanist shirt?
Is that the name of the band, Salvation?
No, it's an enslaved t-shirt. I guess that kind of hipster. It's like folk black metal. Shit, that's kind of hipster.
Folk black metal?
Well, it's rooted in, like, they got a lot of inspiration by traditional kind of, like, Norwegian folk music and stuff.
Okay.
But they're also a progressive metal, too. Oh, God, this is hipster as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay.
You should start a new podcast.
Breakdown of metal bands and their progressiveness.
That exists.
Yeah.
That exists.
How everything derives from Yes.
Oh, God, no.
No, that's the other band, right? But I think pairing craft beer and metal would be cool.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, like...
The family of metal thing was actually done by a Victoria native called Sam Dunn. He also did a documentary on Iron Maiden. He did Global Metal. Watch all these documentaries. They're fantastic. Yeah.
I would actually like to learn more. I don't mind it. I just don't know anything about it.
He's not the Headbangers Journey, is he?
He is, yeah. That's that
he's
guy.
From Victoria?
He's from Victoria,
I didn't
know
that.
Yeah. I think he moved to LA or something because, you get some money, why would you stick in Victoria?
His documentaries are
sweet. I'm rude. I'm rude. But you know what I mean.
Victoria with money is great.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
Well, now it is.
A certain level.
Well, maybe not now, but...
If you want to be close to those bands, though.
If you want to rent something really expensive, come to Victoria. Anyway... It's time to wrap things up.
Yeah, I think so. So, smoke beers, yay or nay?
The ones we had tonight, I think the three I brought in their heyday would have probably been really great. They mm-hmm. showed that, you know, their bones were there for something positive. But the fresh ones we have that are local, like, get them. They're great beers. Mm-hmm. They're enjoyable. Something you can have a couple times over.
True. So we're going to sign off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And make sure that you subscribe to the podcast.
Do that.
Follow us on Instagram. And it's...
Come see Stefan at
the URL
Pop Wire
is...
anchor.fm/mashingin.
And if you listen to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, and make sure
that really helps.
If you get there, make sure you say something about Ed's Australianness.
Oh, so just, we're going back to this now.
Yeah, no, but just so that we know they're listening.
Just
right?
So we know, yeah.
Because like, we don't want a bunch of like bots like just like giving us 5-star reviews. We want people that have actually listened to give 5-star review, right?
Mention something about Australia, we know you listened.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our password for this, for our logins, for everything.
My family was so upset.
Change that password now.
Yeah. Okay, Brian, where can we find you? You can
find me at howihandlemyvices, dot between each word, and you can find me at Beer Can Review, or REV, on Instagram, and you can find me at the Courtney Room here in Victoria. You're hungry for some happy hour.
We can find you there.
You can find me there most days. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Come in for our tasting menu. Come in for our happy hour food.
Are we doing a beer dinner?
We're doing a beer dinner. Okay. We're actually going to talk about tonight.
Good.
Yeah. We want you to be one of the very first people to do beer dinner. I think we had Firestone Walker, and then we're going to have you. So.
My only stipulation is I get food.
You and your wife can come for
food. Yes. Done.
You bring the kids, then you're going to have to pay for you and your wife.
We'll spend the money.
Plates.
We will spend the money that we would have spent on an appy on a babysitter.
There you go. Okay? Done.
Perfect. You know, one of those restaurants where kids eat for free? What the hell?
Yeah. Don't you have like little coloring?
And we sing to you on your birthday. We round up all the servers. It's great. It's perfect.
By the way, our beer dinner's on at mom my birthday, I think. Yeah.
Have we decided a date yet?
No.
But we'll sing to you anyway. We'll just pretend it's your birthday.
Do that.
Yeah. Great.
Ed, where do we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at /EdK. It's Instagram /EdK.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. KAYE. Same on Twitter. I am on Facebook as Bring Your Porter to the Slaughter, said in a terrible English accent that doesn't make much sense with the rhyming in Canadian. also online at www.bringyourporterthslaughter.com. Mm-hmm. And and I also do the Watts Brewing hotline email every week. The event stuff and that.
Cool.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Nice. And Stefan, where we can find you?
I'm at Socks Cover Feet on Instagram, and you can also find me slinging beers here at Il Sauvage in the tasting room.
You can also find you making beers.
Yeah, I also make the beers and sling the beers at this moment, but hopefully.
You have a couple of cool events coming up,
right?
We do.
I'm really excited. We're going to be attending Hopwired, as we said, this weekend. I'm going to be there. There's a roundtable discussion about mixed fermentation beers, so I really look forward to what's going to come out of that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good minds in that.
Yeah, and just hopefully, I think there will be a lot of good people in the audience, too, who will have meaningful questions to ask, which will be cool. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing a bunch of Beer Week events, Victoria Beer Week events here that I'm excited about. An intro to Cicerone that I'm going to be doing here, as well as a beer and food event, and also a Science of Sour event with Michael Cusick of Category 12 Brewing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
He's a smart man.
PhD.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the D stand for?
Dick.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Normally it does, but in this case I don't think it does.
No, it sounds probably stands for doctor.
Well, he's gonna murder me before the event, but I just like that I get roped into a Science of Sour event with a guy with a fucking PhD in microbiology.
Yeah,
like, so that question that you just asked, Michael.
Yeah,
he's gonna want to field that one.
And then Mike, you want to field that one?
Yeah, yeah.
And, this sounds like a question for Mike too.
Yeah. Anyone need any more beer? My pouring skills are off the charts.
You want to see how to? You want to see how to mash in on this side?
Yeah, thanks. So,
and I believe it's Doctor of Philosophy, right?
Yeah.
Where'd you guys get your beers, by the way, many times?
I got mine at Liquor Plus Hillside.
Cool.
Yeah. And I bought mine at the Swan's Liquor Store.
Oh.
Well, there's got plenty of those on the shelf. Get on down and buy some.
Brecker at Cook Street, and you'll find a lot of the same stuff at Thrifty's Liquors too. So
cool. Let's go.
Done.